Oh man, yesterday I was going nuts. I could not find my glasses anywhere. I looked all throughout my house, in my car, in my studio. I could not find them. I looked under the bed. I looked in the cupboard. I only looked in the refrigerator. Like, was I that crazy? Could I have left my glasses in the refrigerator when I was looking for milk? What? And then I thought, where did I go all day? Where did I go? Let's say, went to the studio, had lunch. I went to the store. Oh, could I have left them in CV? Well, why would I take my glasses off and CV? What? Why? Where could they be? Everywhere. I looked in every one of my coat pockets, my pants pockets, everywhere. The bathroom, could they be in the toilet? Did they fall in the toilet when I was looking in the toilet, as I usually do for fun? I couldn't find my glasses anywhere. And then I remembered. I don't wear glasses.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Please don't. Not a good idea.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird.
Yes, indeed.
If you like that sort of thing.
Who doesn't like that sort of thing?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? You smell good. Oh, that smells wonderful. What is that, oatmeal? Nice. At least you got some fiber going there. Nice stuff, man. Gotta have fiber. Gotta eat fiber. I chew on a couple of sweaters when I'm hungry. Oh, yeah. I chew on down comforters. Not much fiber in it, but I can get down with that stuff, man. Down with it. It's funny. When we say certain expressions, we have to put the little twist on it. I can get down with that. No, that's not what you said. I can get down with that. What are we doing? What's wrong with us? Oh, man. All right, my message of the day to Donald Trump, and I can't believe I said your name without throwing some kind of adjective on it, and I will now. His tweets are actually brain farts. They are. That's what they're called. That's what tweeting is. It's brain farts. The president of the United States is brain farting. So from now on, until he stops that annoying habit, that contentious, childish, stupid habit, I shall be calling the president, I will be calling him not the president, I will be calling him the orange fart. And I know it's disrespectful. But he is disrespectful, so I am only taking his cue. I want to be just like the president. I want to malign people. I want to call them names. I want to call them out. I want to express every single opinion in my head. President Orange Fart, thank you so much. I know a lot of you object to this type of talk, but I didn't bring it on. If the man would just shut the hell up. Just do what you're going to do. If people like it, great. If they don't, whatever. You know, that's fine. They elected you in. I don't know how. I don't even know what happened. I still don't know what happened, and I never will. I don't know. But whatever. Just shut up. Get your face away from me. There should be a rule. You can't expose his face on television and in the newspapers. Just go somewhere, do your job, and shut up. Go to Russia and pee on your little prostitutes and leave me alone. Because unlike you, I can't get pussy anytime I want it. That's how we differ. Ron, how are you different than the president? He can get pussy anytime he wants. That's what he said. I can't. I have to work hard. I have to put in a lot of effort. Go through a whole moral issue. He doesn't because of who he is. He can get anytime. I can't. I got to work at it, man. I can't get down with that. All right, I'm done talking about him. That's it for today as far as the talk about the orange fart is concerned. Ron, that is so disrespectful. Well, yeah, because you dish it out, you're going to take it. God, maligning that position, awful, just awful. If he was running for Bozo the Clown, I'd say, yeah, tweet away. That's funny. This isn't funny. This is annoying. Shut up. Please, be quiet.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Shut up.
Please be quiet.
Stop tweeting.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
I don't think he's ever said I'm sorry for anything. Not even to one of his five wives. I don't know how many wives he's had. It's like Zsa Zsa Gabor Orange. Anyway, how you doing? Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking to author M.J. Waters. His new book, The Phantom Paradigm, is available, and it's fascinating. More fascinating than the book itself is the man who wrote the book, and we'll speak to him later on in the show. He's fascinating. So am I. So are you. You're fascinating to me, too. I don't know what you do, but it's fascinating. You're fascinating. Fascinating.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow, gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
Let's do this. Hey, thanks for listening. Tell your friends about it. There's no money in it for you, but there is for me. So that's the least you can do. Tell all your friends about this show. Get them hooked on it like some type of horrible medicine cabinet drug. I'll thank you for it in the morning. Not right now, but in the morning, yeah. The show can be heard on the Podbean Network, on iTunes, on TuneIn Radio, and on many syndicated radio stations throughout the country when they feel like it. Depends on how much I curse. They can't hear that stuff. I don't curse a lot. I really don't. Not even in real life. I don't have time. I I've got a Facebook page like you care. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. I have no idea what you're supposed to do when you get there. But it does exist because I paid somebody to do it. And now, you must go there. You can say you like it, you don't like it, I don't care. I think when you go there, I get clicks and that means something. I don't know how that works. I don't take care of that stuff. Ever. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm still twatting, and I understand you're not supposed to do that. What's the difference between tweeting and doing 40 words or less on Facebook? I don't know. I don't think there is a difference. That's why I don't understand anything. I know not of your world. I'm from another planet. I'm from Uranus. See? I've never done online banking because I don't trust anything. I don't trust the bank. I don't trust you. I don't trust hackers to politely hack me. So I don't do online banking because that's an exchange of money between me and a financial institution. Why would I publicly want to do it over the internet ways of air? I wouldn't. I don't do that. I walk into a bank, I look somebody in the eyes, and I say, here's my money. You better take care of it. Now give me some of my money back. When I go in a bank, I expect them to be well-dressed, manicured. I want to check their nails. I want to make sure their socks don't smell. It's a responsibility to take care of my money, no matter how much I may have left. At times, it's not a lot. Boom, 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 boom. A boom, boom, boom. The bass is a very forgotten instrument. I forgot. It even exists. But at the end of a song like that, when you hear the boom, 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 you say, oh my God, there was a bass playing through the whole thing. I did not hear it. I was not aware of it. But it was there. Nobody appreciates the bass player, whether it be a jazz bass player with that big instrument that's as big as the player is, or maybe a bass guitar. Nobody really appreciates them. They never really do solos. If they do, they're just wasting your time. Bass players should never have solos. There's no point to it. It's a background instrument. You don't play it in the foreground. You just don't. And anybody that uses it, see, in jazz they do. In jazz, everybody takes a turn and everybody plays their instrument. I'm surprised they don't say to people in the audience, hey, anybody want to play a little bit with us? Because every instrument, every person gets involved. Every jazz song is about 20 to 30 minutes long. It's not called a jazz song. It's called a symphony because it's 40 minutes long easily. Let's play the same ditty 50 times over and call it a song. Okay, fine, good. Ditty, what the hell's a ditty? So what's a ditty? Do you know what a ditty is? I've used the word and I'm not too sure what it is. It's a musical phrase, but I don't know what makes it a ditty. I don't think ditty should be a word because it's stupid sounding. It's nobody should know. No grown adult should be muttering the word ditty or uttering the word ditty. No male or female adult should be saying the word Google. That's what a baby says when there's spit involved in getting the words out. That's Googling. That's what a baby does. How the hell did we get into that terminology for looking something up? It's just, what happened? What happened to common sense? Where do we go? Did we go out to dinner and never come home? What happened? We don't do anything that makes any sense anymore. Here's a strange product that I saw advertised on TV. And I can't get my head around it. Well, I can't get my head around anything because It's a head. You can't wrap it around things. You can't wrap your head around bacon, for example. Anyway, it's Blue Dinner or something like that, and I'm not trying to malign it. I'm maligning the entire concept and industry. There's a few companies that do this. You get online, whatever that is, and you order food, but it's not cooked. It's just the ingredients. So this is supposed to be a time saver, so you don't have to go shopping. But here's the thing I don't understand. You still have to cook it. It's not heating it up. You have to cook it. So in the mail, I don't know. I don't understand how this possibly works. In the mail, you get a carrot. You get some green beans. You get a piece of chicken or something. I don't know what the hell you... You get the ingredients totally uncooked, totally raw. Then apparently after your long day, rather than just stopping off and getting takeout, you open up this package and it's got the raw stuff in it. And it's like, what the f*** am I supposed to do with this? Well, you julienne the carrot and you put it in a sauce and you saute it for 30, 40 minutes. What are you doing? I don't have time. The whole idea was I didn't have time. If you have time to go to a supermarket on the way home, pick up the stuff yourself. It's such a stupid, lazy concept. I don't get it. I must be missing something. I must be missing something. If you don't have time to stop at a supermarket and pick up the stuff you want to eat that night, then you really need to change your life around. I am so sick of people saying, I don't have a minute to spare. I just don't have time to do everything. I'm here and then I'm there and I'm here and then I'm there and I have no time. And by the time I do that, I don't have time and I don't have time to cook and I don't have time to eat and I don't have time to sleep and I don't have time to breathe. I'm breathing now sporadically because I don't have time all day to breathe. Exercise, I get like 3 minutes in. It's all I've got time for. I got to run by the gym, then I got to go home and I got to do this. And I don't have time for anything. I don't have to squeeze this in. No, I can't do it today. I have to do it tomorrow. I don't have no time for this. My God, my God, you are falling prey to yourself. You've got time for everything that you should have time for. You make time, you stupid person. You probably voted for that last president because you just did what you were told to do. I don't have time. I don't have time to hear all the policies and I don't have time to learn about anything. I'm too busy. I have no time. God. You want the gift of time? Let me give you the gift of time. Slow down. You move too fast. You've got to make your lifetime last. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Then you don't know how to schedule. Then you don't know what you're doing. Then you're doing everything poorly. I can't squeeze it in. I've got to finish this first. Oh, stop it. Cut it out. Who do you think you are? Don't have time. I've got time. You want some of my time? You got it. I'm getting very upset, and I shouldn't be getting upset. So I don't understand this meal thing in preparation. I don't understand why you just wouldn't pick up something already cooked. I mean, this is a time where you go into any supermarket or any restaurant, or any fast food place, or any place at all, you can get your food totally cooked. You give them some money, they give you the food, you bring it home, you sit down and you eat it if you don't have time. I'm surprised you have time to even eat the thing. Why don't you hire somebody to eat the food for you so you can go off and do something else? But instead, you have raw foods delivered to your door so you don't have to go to a supermarket, but then you have to cook it. I'm not getting it. Sorry, man. So I'm not down with that. I'm not down with that, man. I hate it when I try to sound like something that I'm not. Like someone who talks like that. I'm not. I'm just not. I feel like a dope.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped.
and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Thank you. Very important message. I walk my dog every day. It's an excuse for me to get exercise. I make time for that. I put my dog on a leash, and together my dog and I take a little walk. I'm tending to wonder these days if I take my dog for a walk or my dog takes me for a walk. I think it's the latter. Not the big ladder in my garage, the latter thing that I said. My dog takes me for a walk. If my dog wants to go over to the left, I'm going over to the left. If my dog wants to hug the curb on the right, we're going to be hugging the curb on the right. My dog rules my life. It's not that I don't have any control over my dog. When I ask my dog to come, my dog will come to me. That's really about all my dog does for me. My dog does not fetch the paper, does not prepare the raw ingredients that I get in the mail to prepare my dinner. The dog does little of anything for itself. I must feed the dog. I must open up a can of dog food, a bag of dry dog food. I tend to mix the two because I like variety in my dog's life as well as mine. But I have to prepare the meal for my dog and put the dish with the dog food in it on the floor so my dog can't eat it. And then when my dog is finished, I have to ask my dog, do you want to go out and do poopies? Of course, I've been reduced as a grown man to saying to an animal to ask it if it wants to do poopies. I actually say the word poopies. It annoys me, it degrades me, but it's part of the deal. It's the art of the deal. But walking my dog, or being walked by my dog, is an interesting concept. Because there is something that keeps me connected to my dog that I don't really find with other things unless I look deeper. I spend my entire time cleaning poop after my dog. I hope this is not a sensitive situation for many of you. This is something we all do in a toilet. My dog decides not to use a toilet, but to use either the floor or the street, or perhaps a neighbor's grassy front yard. But it is my job to bend down, pick up the poop, put it in a bag, and carry it around like I've just won a trophy. Yes, I walk for at least half a mile carrying a bag of poop with me. This is what I've been reduced to. Now, I'm not complaining. Does this sound like complaining to you? It's not. This is not what I sound like when I'm complaining. I'm just making a point that as a human being who has evolved greatly upon this planet, both intellectually and physically, my major contribution is to pick up poop, put it in a bag, and walk around with it for at least half a mile. And here's what made me think about that. One of my neighbors in my neighborhood was driving by in their car as I was being walked by my dog, and I was holding the bag of poop, which I had just picked up the poop in the bag. And in one hand, I have the leash to the dog. In the other hand, I have the little bag with poop in it. And my neighbor drives by, and as he is driving by, he waves his hand at me as if to say hello. In our culture, you return the hello with a reciprocal wave. I couldn't wave with my right hand because it was holding the leash of the dog, and I could not raise that hand. The only hand that I had free to raise was the left hand, which was holding the bag of poop. So what I did in effect, and what I hope my neighbor doesn't misread, is my neighbor waved to me with a smile on his face. I returned by raising in the air my hand with a bag of poop in it. In other words, I saluted my neighbor with a bag of poop. Quite graphically, quite obviously. Did my neighbor think that I was waving back? Or perhaps saying something nasty with my hand and the waving bag of poop? I had no choice but to wave a bag of poop back at my neighbor. I hope we're still friends. I hope he doesn't move. Although if he does, what the hell? I don't care. But just the same, it made me realize at that point, what the hell's going on here? I am walking around my neighborhood with a bag of poop. Then I realized that even if I train my dog to go on the papers in the house, I am still picking up the poop from the papers and changing the papers. Then I thought, well, this isn't the only time in my life that I've done this. I am with child, I'm not pregnant right now, but I've changed baby's diapers before, in which case I am taking the poop from the baby, wiping it quite graphically, putting it in a bag, just like I do with my dog. Even worse, with the baby, I don't wipe my dog's ass. No, I don't. I guess some do. I don't. But with a baby, you actually have to get in there and actually wipe that thing down. So I guess I've been doing it all my life. Then I realized when you're older, you might have to take care of a parent or a relative who is incontinent in this continent, but incontinent in the sense that they cannot control that function themselves, and I must help out. It's the circle of life. Then I realized, and excuse my language here, that I put up with shit through my entire life. And that's not necessarily in the physical sense. That's in a life sense. I am a professional handler of virtual poop through my entire life. I listen to it, I dish it out, I clean it. I pick it up, I carry it around in a bag. I know. MJ Waters is an author. He has written a book called The Phantom Paradigm. Like myself, you're probably saying, what the hell does that mean? Well, that's why we're going to talk to him. He's an interesting gentleman, this man. Oh, yes, he is. We're speaking to MJ Waters, who is the author of a fascinating book, which has come out recently. It's The Phantom Paradigm. And it's a little scary, a little mysterious. How you doing today?
How's it going, Ron? I'm doing good.
Excellent. You're all the way out there in the California area, I understand.
Yeah, San Diego, right. America's finest city.
Yeah, it's a nice deal. It's not so bad. This is snowy here in Boston, but that's okay. You wrote this book. You've had a very interesting life, first of all. You've been quite a few places, and you've seen quite a few things. And I know you've had interesting little quirks in your life.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I was there for the big earthquake, you know, there for the firestorms.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moved down to San Diego as a young kid, age 20.
Uh-huh.
Traveled around Mexico, traveled around Europe, and then you know, me and my wife actually made it on that show, The Amazing Race, so we got to travel the world for free for a while. So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a good run of luck.
A good run
as far as traveling.
Yeah, how did you get on The Amazing Race? Was it something that you applied for, or did they come after you?
Yeah. My wife, my then girlfriend, she knew about the show. I never watched it.
Yep.
So why don't we try out for this? And we just made a video, just drinking wine and. And they picked us. That was it, you know?
Yeah.
I saw other contestants' videos. It was high production, you know, fully scripted. And ours was just us laying on my bed drinking wine.
And that's what
me
did it.
Talking the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you must lay on a bed and drink wine really well.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
Pretty good at it. Plenty of practice and stuff. Okay. Yeah. So you're on The Amazing Race. And what was the results of that for you?
Oh, it was an awesome experience, but I took the chance for $1 million for granted. I never watched the show. I didn't know what I was getting into. And we were in Portugal on the fifth leg of the race, and I put unleaded gasoline into a diesel car we were driving, and we just broke down. I had never driven a diesel car before, and I had no idea. That was, you know, in the United States, they have red hot. Yeah. You know, they have controls on the gas pumps where you can't put diesel into an unleaded tank. Luckily, which is for, you know, sake of three other teams did the same thing. So I didn't feel completely horrible. But we were just the last ones to figure it out.
That's weird. So you came close. Then you somehow along the line, you decide you're going to sit down and write a book. How did that happen?
I've written ever since high school. In high school, I had a science fiction class, and the teacher gave us 3 months for everyone to write a 10-page story, and it was a contest, 90 students. And I wrote it the night before mine. I had 3 months to do it, wrote the night before, and I won. And the teacher pulled me aside, and he's grilling me. He thought I stole someone else's story from, sir. I plagiarized the whole thing.
Right.
Which was a compliment. You know?
Yes, it was.
I'm like, all right. It was so good, he thought I plagiarized it. So
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
And then when I was like 21, I had this mundane job where I had a lot of downtime at San Diego State University. And all my downtime, I would just write and write and write. And then 20 years went by. I'm like, you know, it's about time I finished something. So I just sat down and I wrote this book.
Cool. Very cool. And I know that you have a goal as far as the book is concerned, which I found kind of humorous, as far as the number of books that you would sell. You've set the bar very low for the sales.
Well, I'm a realist, Ron. You know? And I thought selling 12 books was a solid goal.
Yeah.
You know? It's not easy selling books.
I heard.
And the books that sell, I don't get. I read all, you know, the books at Costco and everything.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
this
book's not that good. You just have to have a huge team behind you pushing your garbage to,
that's funny
to
stuff.
Sell.
That's funny stuff. You sound like a quirky guy. I understand that when you got married, you had your reception at a strange place.
Oh, no. It was, I don't know if you saw the joke part or the real part.
We actually
got married in...
Okay. So
we got married in Florence, Italy.
Okay. And then...
Yeah.
Okay. And then it says, so that was the joke part that you had your reception at Chuck E. Cheese.
In Florence, California, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just the joke part, yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't do that to my wife, no.
I would guess not. So that's why I found that kind of quirky. It just sounds quirky anyway. Now, tell me about the book, the Phantom Paradigm. Where did that concept come from?
Well, it was kind of a love letter to my college years, which were fantastic at San Diego State University.
Yeah,
you know, it was a different world for me. Just everyone I knew, you know, it was completely cool to drink every day and you know, date 3 different women at the same time. And I'm like, you know what? I want to relive some of that in my mind. that's where the book started, just me.
Because that's the only
I'm basically
place
the main character in the book, reliving a lot of the stuff I live. And then as I was writing this, I had no idea how I was going to end it. And then I went back through the old stories I wrote 20 years ago, and I found the ending in one of the pages I wrote 20 years ago, and it fit perfectly.
Oh, that's cool.
That was kind of nice come around.
Wow. So did you actually take the setting of your college days and just expound upon it character-wise, or was it set somewhere else and then it just reminded you of that loose and free feeling?
Oh, yeah, it's like 60% of the book is on the San Diego State University campus, which I don't name, you know, but just in my mind, that's what I used.
Yeah.
And then I used some other familiar settings to me, like Vegas, and then where the main point in the story happens is in Australia, which I've never been to, but I did enough research to get a good feel for it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And it involves some espionage and some mystery and where did that come from? Did were you placing a character into situations that didn't happen to you? Obviously, I guess not.
Yeah. There's a somewhat supernatural element, which I don't believe in at all. But I grew up reading Stephen King, and there's always some element of supernatural in there, but it doesn't define the whole thing. It's just
very cool. That's fun. Now, have you sat down or thought about writing something else at this juncture?
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with. I have two other concepts I'd like to explore, and then this is the one, The Phantom Paradigm's open for a sequel, a whole series, but
right.
So I wrote like two pages of the sequel, and I'm like, maybe I want to pursue these other ideas. And, you know, months go by.
I know. Well, it's because we're drinking wine all the time. That's
yeah, what, exactly.
Which is good. It's what started the other thing, so why not?
Exactly.
All right. So you haven't started writing just yet on the new ones yet?
No, just in conceptual just in pages.
When you're writing the other book, I'm curious, did you always go to the same place to do your writing, or was it at various locations? In other words, did you have to park yourself somewhere to actually discipline yourself to do this?
Yeah, it was in my man cave. I have a home studio, you know, I work on websites and design and stuff, and... You know, I have my huge computer set up with three screens.
Gotcha.
And so I'm just isolated down here, and this is where I did 100% of the writing.
Cool. Very cool. I've written a couple of books myself. They didn't go anywhere. But and I'm trying that naturally speaking thing where you just talk into a microphone, and then it's supposed to, like, just transpose it for you into hard words.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I think I spend more time correcting it because it was transposed wrong than I do actually writing it, so that's not working out.
I understand that,
yeah. I might try the wine route, though. I think that might...
Wine helps.
It really, it's a wonderful thing. And you're out there in California, you got plenty of it. Okay, it's called The Phantom Paradigm, and I'm going to spell that for people because, believe it or not, a lot of people in this country can't spell paradigm. So I'm going to do it for them. Phantom, P-H-A-N-T-O-M, Paradigm, P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M, and it's available on Amazon, I assume?
Yep, and everywhere else.
Excellent. Sounds really good. Now, if someone wanted to follow you and find out what you're doing and how things are going, is there an opportunity to do that?
Yeah, the phantomparadigm.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, I have a blog there, which I haven't been really keeping up with, but, you know, if anything of consequence happens, I'll put it on there.
There you go. Perfect. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you. We do recommend the book, and everybody should grab a copy. It's fun, and now that we know the backstory and all about the author, it makes it even that much more fun to get into it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Appreciate it, Ron. Thanks.
You take care. MJ Waters. Nice man, MJ Waters, ladies and gentlemen. Like the flowing of the liquid, so be his name. So be it. Just about out of time for today. This has been really a special program for both you and me for no reason whatsoever. I just like to make it sound special, even though it was just kind of normal. But fun wasn't fun. Did you walk away with anything, like a free pen or something like that? You know, I don't steal things. I've never shoplifted before in my life. I think we've all been tempted when we wanted to get back at someone or someone in a store, but I've never shoplifted. The closest I've gotten to that kind of satisfaction is getting a free pen. If I'm going to a trade show or a place where they're handing out pens or something like that, I always feel like I got a free pen. This is a wonderful day in my life. I got something for free. I didn't have to pay for it. Someone just gave me something, and they're letting me walk away with it without stopping me and arresting me. I've gotten something for free. It's a wonderful feeling. It's trivial and insignificant, but those little trivial and insignificant moments are wonderful. All right, that's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful day. All right, that's enough. All right, Ron, that's enough, please. Okay, that's enough. Have a wonderful day. I wish you peace. That'll be enough. Ron, that's enough. Ron, can I tell you something? Sure, you can tell me anything. We have that kind of relationship. This is open. What do you want to say? Ron, that's enough, okay? That's enough.